Hey, we're Blender Style, and we're slightly sarcastic with a good chance of A, disinterest. On this episode, Panic at the Disco, a fever you can't sweat out, released in 2005. Cheers, fellers.
Cheers. Is that my only option?
Yep. So I discovered Panic at the Disco around 2006. From my standard of the early era of discovering music, Urban Chaos videos.
I remember those.
They had a video for I Write Sins Not Tragedies, so, and I saw it, and I was like, what the fuck?
Okay, so explain Chaos. What is it called?
Urban Chaos Videos.
Urban Chaos Videos.
It was just a website where I don't know if he got them from MTV and recorded them and coded them and put them up, but he would post just like, you know, 10 videos or so every couple days or every week or something. Awesome.
This was pre-YouTube days.
Yeah.
So it's like some type of like pirate radio.
It was like some pirate radio thing, yeah, but he did videos.
For music videos.
Yeah.
So this
song I Write Sins Not Tragedy was on there for the video, and I watched it and I was like, this is kind of weird. And then at the end when they opened their eyes and the painted on eyes, I was like, oh fuck. And then I just kind of like went from there and kind of got into the band. I never got into anything after this album, I'll say. I think the next album came out and it was kind of stupid. I didn't like it.
This is their debut.
Yeah, so this is their debut album. They're from Las Vegas. They only formed about a year before they were signed. Like, they were pretty fast-tracked. And then this album was recorded 1 month after they all graduated high school.
I don't even think they played live before they got signed.
Yeah, I don't think so. They released a couple demos or something.
Who signed them? It's the dude from Fall Out Boy, right?
From
Pete Wentz?
Yeah, I don't think it was Fall Out Boy. Maybe it was Fall. I don't know.
Dude, Panic at the Disco sounds like Fall Out Boy.
It does, yeah.
So this is the only release.
So they were like in high school.
They were out. They just graduated 1 month later.
But they were young as shit. Yeah, they were young.
This is the only recording with their original bassist, Brent Wilson. And stylistically, they divided the album into two separate halves. So like the first half is more of a pop punk, and then the second half is more of a Baroque pop kind of influence thing with traditional instrumentation and shit, which is kind of cool. And I think the second
half, but it melds well.
It does. They use that little intermission in the middle to kind of like separate the two. And I didn't catch on to it, but I always wonder why I always like the second half of the album better than the first half. And
I didn't catch that it was like,
yeah, I didn't either until I read about it, which is kind of a cool thing. So I just figured this is something that, I've listened to for a long time now, and I want to see where you guys are at. I know Matt is a huge fan so much that he went to a concert for them.
Not completely voluntarily. My my two daughters wanted to go to a Panic at the Disco show. So I went. I took them as a good father. I wore a Cradle of Filth shirt. That's why I'm wearing this.
Okay.
Oh, and our buddy we just saw at lunch, he went to that same show.
Oh, yeah.
And he was wearing some fucked up shirt too. And he's like, oh, you're wearing your protest shirt because you hate being at this concert. I'm like, yeah, for like kids music or whatever. Coincidentally, there's some bands that opened for that. Mr. Wives.
Okay.
Was fantastic. I really got into them afterwards. Anyway, I was not a fan of Panic. I didn't know anything about them.
So live, you were like...
Live, it was cool. I feel like this sounds like...
It was
like,
cool because you were with your kids.
Yeah, it was a cool vibe.
But also, you went to this concert later in their career, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and so I think it was after the band was pretty much just two guys at that time.
It felt like the Brendon Urie show.
Yeah.
And that's what my girls were all about. They liked the Brendon Urie guy. Or whatever. And like he, you know, it was clearly a concert about him.
Yeah.
It had too much pop to it. And then so I never really got interested.
Yeah, yeah.
So when you picked this, I was just like, oh, okay. I'm semi familiar. I've seen them live.
Yeah.
Let's see. And I kind of remember some of these songs now that I listen to it. Nathan, you totally love this band, right? You were like a huge fan going into this, or am I getting that wrong? I'm fucking with you.
Yeah. Like, wait, what?
I've never liked this band.
Have you ever listened to this band?
Yeah, it was everywhere. Okay. It was everywhere. Wait. I'd go drink beer somewhere.
But
I feel like some girl would be playing this album.
I feel like, was it this album or was it later
this album?
Okay.
Why do you not? Why do you? Okay, what do you like about this?
It's dude. I don't like his vocals.
He said,
all I can tell you is what I don't like.
Okay.
And I, dude, I get it. I've said this plenty of times because I don't mean any disrespect. You know what I mean? I get it. This definitely sounds like a high school kid.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm not in high school.
I was surprised to find out it was from high school. It sounds more mature and it's still like,
I wasn't a big Fall Out Boy fan also.
Yeah. I never liked either. Fall Out Boy.
I mean, they had some good songs or whatever, and like, so what do you guys think about this album, though?
So when I first played it, it was what I expected. It's emo vocals. It was irritating.
Yeah,
I did not like it at first. I'll be honest, dude. This grew on me.
Big time. For sure, and that's what it was with me. Like the first time I heard it, I was like, "What the fuck."
It's super annoying.
It is. It's it earworms the way in.
But it just, it's.
You ever get around somebody that has some smart ass shit to say about everything because all they have is their words?
Okay,
that's this.
That what?
There's
what do
nothing
you mean?
Here but his words. So like, it is very much not very musical to me. It's very much all everything him, and it is.
I feel like this is musical as hell. I think this is their most musical of any of their releases.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there's like pianos and stuff going on, and like
there's some crazy structures. There's some really cool, like,
I guess I just don't see it, man. Yeah.
It is very like
I don't want to, I want to hear what you guys have to say about
so
it.
So, what I walked away with this is like vocally and lyrically is the focus for sure.
Oh, 100%.
Which is weird because the guitar player wrote all the lyrics, right?
Yeah,
and
so
they brought him in to do.
So, when this band was originally formed in high school, Ryan Ross was the singer. And so when these songs were all written, I don't know if it's because they were written before they were signed or when he was a singer, but he wrote all the lyrics for it. And there's some like crazy, like it's weird lyrical themes going on with this. It makes it really cool. Like, the only difference between martyrdom and suicide is press coverage, which is funny because every one of these songs on here has these ridiculously long names, and they did that as a protest. Like, at the time, you know, Fall Out Boy and those guys were making these long names for their songs, and they're like, well, let's make ours even longer just to fuck with people and show we don't give a fuck.
It's stupid. I hate that.
And a lot of these tracks are dealing with the fact that they know once they get signed, they're all going to change. They're all going to have to deal with all this bullshit. They don't want to fuck them. They want to do their own thing. This was very rock and roll in their approach, yet they weren't playing rock and roll. Which I think is what kind of does it for me.
It's like theater.
It is. It's very theater, but with the rock and roll theme. Like, they are living that 70s rock vibe where they want to do their own thing. They don't want to answer anybody. They don't want the record label to tell them what to do. They know that they're going to be fucking hooked on drugs and shit as they get famous and shit. But they're okay with that as long as they get their fame.
So is that that's what you got, like, out of the lyrics and stuff of it?
That's what I got out of a lot of the lyrics. Just the self-awareness of what was going on. Like, they were self-aware beyond, like you said, this sounds more mature. They were self-aware beyond their years for this. They knew exactly what was coming when they got signed. This band.
That's kind of annoying.
It is, but at the same
because
time,
they,
it's
like,
kind of cool.
Got signed. This guy was like, oh, these guys, I can make some money off these guys. Yeah, write a record. Oh, the guy from Fall Out Boy's putting our shit out. We're getting big. Let's talk about it. We're getting big.
But this is the thing. These songs were all written before they were signed.
That's true, yeah.
So they knew. Oh, so it's like the secret.
Yeah. That's the secret.
They secreted.
They secreted, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So they
put the intention out.
They kind of came out.
Oprah.
At the time when they created
Aleister
this stuff,
Crowley.
they were kind of against the grain. They kind of did the same kind of sound that Fall Out Boy and shit did, but it was against the grain as far as lyrical
things. This kind of sounds like
stuff.
A lot of stuff that actually was coming out around that time for me, actually, because I have to admit, dude, Taking Back Sunday. I love Taking Back Sunday.
Shit, but you like Taking Back Sunday.
Way better than this band. Okay. Musically, lyrically.
Right, I'm not going to argue.
I'm just going to say there's other stuff that I think, you know what I mean? I don't think there's a, like, so I have to back it up. You're saying there's some originality and stuff. And this sounds like the same stuff I was hearing at that time, and I was already over it. You know what I mean? It's very
do they
emo,
have the same, like,
high school, Hawthorne Heights?
But do they have the
same lights?
Lights.
Do they have the same,
sparks,
like, vocal, like, onslaught delivery like this is? It's like he doesn't.
No.
You know what I mean? It's like Fall Out Boy. Like, I don't know. I don't listen to Fall Out Boy and Taking Back Sunday. Yeah, it's definitely
Taking Back Sunday is very lyrical and tongue in cheek and getting back. And, like, you know, that's the angsty thing. Like, it's like emo.
The emo, yeah.
This is like all going on, you know, it's percolating and doing its thing. Like My Chemical Romance. It's just.
Okay. All right.
So it's similar. It's
this
not,
is more I pop, wouldn't... though, is it not?
Yeah, for sure. Fall Out Boy also went very pop.
They went
very
pop.
I think a lot of these bands were just, they're writing, you know, just
so is that pop why, songs. Is that why these songs are like little, like, stories in of themselves? Well, that, is that like...
I also feel like this band kind of, they took themselves serious, but more than that, they were just, they were atmospherically aware. They were aware of what was going on around them at the time. And I feel like Fall Out Boy is a good example. They were doing a style of music, and at the time that this came out, they were doing the same sound. Like, the musically, they were sounding the same, but lyrically, I think they were way shallow, where these lyrical themes go a lot deeper. And
like
also,
Between the Buried and Me?
Well, and I also think that Brendan Urie...
That's pretty deep. I get what he's saying.
But I also think that Brendan Urie has, like, a thousand times better vocal range than the guy from Fall Out Boy.
His vocals are annoying, but I like it a lot.
Yeah, his delivery is... It's almost it's almost like he's showing off that he could do shit, and you're just like, dude, okay, shove it up your ass and just stop, because nobody cares.
Well, and it's fast, and he's, like, jumping between, like vibratos and stuff like that.
For sure. But I feel like the end of this, like the last three tracks on this album.
Look at me.
It is. When I saw him like that, I think he had like lights on his jacket. You know what I mean? Like sparkling.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. After this album, the whole band kind of went. Yeah. The whole band kind of went like, oh, we did good with that theme. Let's stick with that theme. And then they just kind of went out there and it's like, okay, we're past that now.
They kind of like fulfilled their own prophecy.
They really did. But I feel like the last, like, three tracks on this are the best tracks on the whole album. Especially, There's a Good Reason These Tables Are Numbered, Honey. You just haven't figured out or thought of it yet.
Why are the tables numbered? Did we ever figure this out?
No, but there's a good reason. You just haven't figured it out yet.
Why'd you call me honey?
Oh, I forgot that part.
Are we at a Chick-fil-A right now?
That's a Chick-fil-A word.
But I feel like these songs they're catchy, they're interesting. There's cool vocal range. The drums are kind of mediocre through the thing. I think that's kind of the weak point of
it. I'm with Nathan. I think the playing is kind of mediocre.
And that's the other thing. The guitar, there's hardly any guitar. The guitar's more of a tone through this whole thing. There's nothing catchy. It's really vocally and synth driven.
Yeah.
Which is cool, but kind of weird.
It feels like this guy was like, which it's not true because, you know, there's a backstory to it. I'm just saying what it sounds like to me.
Yeah, yeah.
Is this guy really wanted to write these lyrics and perform and be like, you know, look at me, and found people that played at church. And like,
he is. So Brendan Urie is from Utah and he's.
Is he Mormon?
He is LDS, yes. So you kind of get that too, that vibe.
I have not Googled this band,
and I did no homework.
I'm sorry,
but also, I did no research.
Hey, the rules are that I just have to talk about the record. I just have to talk about the record and listen to it more than three times. I did my fucking part.
So also these guys start out. I don't know if this is before Brendan joined the band or not, but they did mostly Blink-182 covers. So they are musically.
I'd rather hear that.
And so they are musically inclined. You'd rather hear them do covers.
Yeah, for sure.
For sure.
Is he like? I'm trying to think of how can I do a Blink song with his, like, you know,
all the small things. It's William Shatner. All the small things.
Oh, God. Truth cares. Truth brings.
Oh, what's my age again? What's my age again?
So it is very repetitive, but I think it does it a service.
I think so too.
When I say shotgun, you say wedding. Shotgun, wedding. Yeah. Shotgun, wedding. That's tight. He didn't need to say it three times, but it like really like.
She didn't choose this role. So, Nathan, it sounds like you really, really enjoyed this album.
Yeah.
What would you rate it?
You're raving about it. What's your dastardly pick?
It's like I give it a 5.0, motherfuckers.
I give it a 2.0.
Okay.
I give
it's like it's pissing respect. You off. It's
well, no, it's just it's respect. You know what I mean? I get what they're doing, and to my understanding, this guy like went on to like Panic at the Disco has been a band for or an artist. I don't know what the fuck.
So you Panic at the Disco was a band for two albums, and it was Brendan Urie at the Disco for the remainder of the.
Yeah, like it's like you know, and you know, good for him.
I like that you're chewing gum in this episode.
Sorry.
You're just like, Ghostbusters, what do you want?
Damn it.
I give it a 3.9 out of 5.
Okay.
It started at maybe a 3, and the more I listened to it, the more I liked it. Uh-huh. It's fun.
It is.
It's very enjoyable. I found myself really enjoying it.
It really is. And I'm with you. I gave it a 4.0 out of 5. I feel like I the first couple times I listened to this when I first found it, I didn't like it, but it grew on me. And David just can't understand how anybody would like it.
It sounds like a pillow fight in a girl's fucking sleepover. That's what this fucking this sounds like.
You don't want to go to a girl's hey ladies.
I'm 37 years fucking old. No, I don't. I don't want to revisit this shit.
I never followed anything Panic at the Disco did after this. I think they put out a song a couple years later. Because after this album, it was Vices and Virtues or some shit, and it sucked.
I think I saw him with like a suit with lights on it or something. Like, look at me. Fuck this stupid fucking shit. 2.0. Come on, guys. I love that you guys love
can
it,
I
though.
Finish my yeah,
I
know.
I like that he's just like coming apart. I'm trying. I really am trying.
You didn't even look anything up. You're not trying.
Dude.
You're like, I listened to it 3 times. I showed up.
I gotta find something I liked about his biography. I'm gonna read something about him. I'm gonna read that he had.
Those lights are custom made.
I feel like the next album, Vices and Virtues, was a joke. And then the next album that came out, I don't even know what it was called, but they put one single out before that came out. Stop fucking laughing, David. Ballad of Mona Lisa, which was good, but I never followed anything from the band after that.
I think they have some hits after this that are
really
pretty good.
See, I don't know.
I can't just name any of them.
I think I was more disgruntled that everybody left the band except for Brendan. It was like, really? And maybe that just goes to show what Nathan's been saying. The flashy suit and the spotlight is.
Does every song sound like start with.
He should go on to do like very theatrical or like be the like host at Disneyland.
Well, I sent you a link to some other band that he's in now, which is funny because he says he disbanded Panic at the Disco because he didn't want to be in a band anymore. He wanted to focus on his family. And now he's in this other band. With these other guys
because playing drums.
Playing drums, though, yeah, right?
Well,
drums.
It's because he doesn't know how to do anything else but
be
a musician. Yeah. He's done it for
he's
so
playing
many
drums.
Years.
Is he in the front of the
No,
state?
He's at the very back.
I actually enjoyed
I thought that was pretty good.
What's
I
it called?
It
it's an actual
we'll put it
artist.
On the screen.
Yeah, I'll put it on the screen. I forget what it was called.
Yeah, if you don't like Panic, at least check this one out.
He's not singing.
Fun pick, dude. I'm glad you picked it. Because I thought I didn't like this. Nathan's wrong.
Yeah, Nathan.
You're kind of right, though. It is very high school. And it is cringy that Casey and I like it.
I'm the only one drinking water this episode.
We're Blender Style. That was Panic at the Disco, A Fever You Can't Sweat Out. Let us know what you think. Leave a comment, like, subscribe. Tell Nathan to panic at this disco.
It's time to insulate the pipe.